Hey family, welcome to Collective Conversations. Just want to say thank you for tuning into this week's podcast episode. We do have a Patreon at patreon.com/collectiveconversations. And if you want to join, you can get behind the scenes content, get early access to episodes, and even ask questions and be a part of community with us. We're also part of Collective Church in Carlsbad, California. And if you guys want to check us out there, you can check us out on our website at collectivechurch.co. Again, just want to say enjoy and welcome to this podcast. Well, hey, family, welcome to Collective Conversations. My name is Nick, and I'm the host for this podcast. And as you guys can see, it is just me today. We're still figuring things out. We're still seeing what works for us, what doesn't work for us. And this is something that we do want to try out, seeing how it'll be if it's just me on the podcast today. So these podcasts, these ones that are just one person, it'll be shorter, probably like 20, 30 minutes. And it'll be more of an encouragement for you guys, less of a conversation, more of an encouragement. And this is just something that I feel like would be good for us to do, either whether it's once a month or once every other month, where we just hop on, have one person, and just do the podcast themselves, sharing a little bit more of an encouragement to you guys. Also, it does save us money not renting out the chapel. I think we said it in the last podcast episode that it's about $60 every single week that we rent the chapel. So it does get expensive. It does add up. And if you guys do feel led to maybe sponsor one of those recording sessions, or you guys feel called to sow into our ministry in any way, we do have a Patreon at patreon.com/collectiveconversations. And there you guys can get early access to episodes. You guys can get exclusive content, behind the scenes content, and even suggest topics for us to talk about on this podcast. We also have our website, collectivechurch.co. And on there, you guys can see our mission statement, see our core values as a church, and also as a ministry in general, things that we've talked about, like last episode, about talking about the hard things, that it will be easy to belong with us, and that we will be people of prayer. You guys can also find on there an option to give. So if you guys don't want to give in the form of joining our Patreon, you guys can go onto our website, click the Give tab, and you guys can give any amount that you guys feel called or led to support us in. And if you guys do feel called or led to do that, we would greatly appreciate it and we would love it, along with prayers for our ministry. Because without that, without prayer, without God, without getting help in finances, we wouldn't be able to do these things. And we want to continue to do these things, hopefully that it is something that is fruitful for you guys, that it is something that can attribute more towards your spiritual formation. And I'm glad that you guys are here and willing to hear from me today. I feel like this is a nice little setting. This is a nice little setting for me, just me and you guys. Well, I'm just talking to a camera right now, but I just imagine that it is someone on the other side of the screen that is listening to my voice, listening to me talk. This is in my bedroom, by the way. I'm just sitting on my bed, have the light propped up, have the camera propped up, have the sound things, and you guys can see I have the microphone. But yeah, today, I got through the introduction. Amen. Praise God. But today we're going to talk about the topic of, am I called or am I forcing it? Am I called or am I forcing it? And also along those same lines, am I called or am I rejecting it? Am I walking away from it, like just like Jonah did, and then he got swallowed by a whale that really honestly just ended up taking him to Nineveh either way? But yeah, mainly it is, am I called or am I forcing it? I think so often for us as Christians, we see the glamorized things and callings, and then we feel like that's what we need to do, that we need to be the best this or the best that, the best preacher, the best pastor, the best author. And those things aren't bad, and in all honesty, some people are called to that, but not everyone is. Not everyone is called to be the best at something, but everyone is called to something. One of the things that I want to point out first off is that the Greek word ecclesia is the translation for church, right? And church, what church means, what this translation means, is a called out people, a called out congregation, someone that is called out or summoned. And so we know that as a people that we are called, that we are summoned, that there's something that God is pushing us towards. And yes, there are all these voices that say, yeah, you just do what makes your heart happy. And I think that God does have a desire for you to follow some of your desires, but there are some things that won't lead to fruit, that won't lead to something good in the name of the Lord, if that makes sense. But there are general things for us as Christians that we are called towards. And I'll get into the more specific things, giftings, callings, a little bit later. And again, this isn't going to be a super long episode or a super long podcast, but there are the general things for us. Just like it says in Romans 1 that we are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We are called to belong to Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, what he did for us. Romans 8, he's working towards the good for those that are called according to his purpose. And then we also have all of these different things within the Bible explaining that we are called to follow Christ. We are called to be worshipers. We are called to be people that follow Jesus. And that is simply because we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the one that died on the cross for our sins. There's no other way for us to reach salvation. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that we are a people that are called to follow Jesus. And I think we get caught up too much in doing all of the things, serving, which aren't bad, working, which aren't bad, pursuing things, oftentimes are not bad. But we forget to be a follower of Christ. One of the things I heard in a podcast before was that it is common and it is easy for us as Christians to become full-time pastors, full-time preachers, full-time teachers, full-time worship leaders, full-time authors, and part-time followers of Jesus. It is so easy for us to go forth and get caught up in the work. That's often what happens for us in the westernized culture, is that we idolize work and what work is. We idolize doing work. We idolize doing work well. We idolize doing work to the best of our ability, or to do it a lot so that we can make a lot of money. And again, these things are not bad, but if we are not rooted in understanding that our first call above anything else, our first call, the biggest call, is to follow Jesus. It's not to follow anything else. It's not to work first, but it is to follow God first. And this calling to belong to Christ is far, far more important than any calling to a vocation or a career or something specific. If we are not understanding that we are called to follow Jesus, that we are called to live a life for Christ, to share in our testimony. If it says in Ephesians 2, so a lot of people talk about verse 8, but then you go on to verse 9 and 10, and I want you guys to go ahead and read that for yourself. But we are made new in Christ, and that's the reason why we do things. That's the reason why we go out, is because we've been transformed. We've been transformed, and that's why we go and do. We're reminded of faith without works is dead, right? It doesn't mean it's not there. It just means that we have to have the faith, and that's the reason why we do things. That's the reason why we go out and we make disciples, or we go out and we explain to people, we share our testimony. There is a reason why we do. And we should start with this. We should start with this calling, any calling that we have an inclination towards. We need to first start with it by getting closer to Jesus. Like I said, a call to a particular work is always going to be second. It's always, always, always going to be second. And we have to remember that part. It's always first following Jesus, because there is an order that matters. If you guys do want something like, there's this document that I found, and it is a document giving a bird's eye view of Jesus's ministry in chronological order. If you guys do want that, I can link that in the bio, or I can send you guys a link of that. And I would love for you guys to check that out and also become acquainted with that. So, because I think order matters. The chronological order of things do matter in terms of Jesus's ministry, the order of what he says, the order of when he says it. And it explains it in this. And first we go into John 4. This is whenever Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. And he says in verse 23, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." So notice that it says that he wants true worshipers that will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. That's who the Father seeks. And then it goes on later into Matthew 9. And this is after Jesus does that, the miracle of raising the child from death, and then heals the woman that was subject to bleeding for 12 years. And in Matthew 9, verse 35 through 38, he says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" So then he talks about the workers are few, and this is in chronological order. He first does ask, or he first does seek worshipers, and then he seeks workers. And that matters. That matters so much. Because he could have very easily talked to the Samaritan woman and said, "You guys need to be doing stuff." But he knew that in Samaria, there was a lot of worshiping. And what God wants is people that worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We get so easily caught up in doing first, in working first, and serving first, that is what we do. And like I was saying, we become full-time servers, full-time workers, and part-time followers of Christ. I know that I've fallen into that before, where I've been a full-time, right now, like I'm a full-time pastor. But there are times whenever I realize I become a full-time pastor and a part-time follower of Jesus. Then maybe I don't pray as much or read my Bible as much, or I don't fully give my worship to Jesus. And sometimes I give it more to my job. And I want to speak to those that have been in that spot, have been in that place. And I want to just speak to you guys and say that we are human. It happens. We so often get caught up in doing it, and then we feel shame for it. But I want us to recognize that happens. That's the reality of it. And then two, maybe we can see this as an opportunity to be refocused on the Lord. Ezekiel and I, we went to a conference last week, and there Rich Velotis was talking, and he was talking about silence and solitude, which I was super happy to hear about, because that's something that we practice in our church. If you guys have watched our services online or been there in person, you guys know that we do 10 minutes of silence and solitude in the middle of service. And one of the things that he said in the conference was that we are human, so we are going to get distracted. In times whenever we are going to try and worship God, we will get distracted. And so he said, if in 10 minutes you get distracted 100 times, let that be an opportunity for you 100 times to say, Jesus, I am here. Jesus, I am back. That it is 100 times that you can go back into the presence of the Lord. Because yes, you are going to get distracted. So he said, not if you get distracted, but when you get distracted, see that as a beautiful opportunity for you to go back into the presence of the Lord. And with that, you just say, Jesus, I am here. Jesus, I am here. I am here to worship you. I'm here to be with you. I'm here to pray with you. Man, I just pray that us as a people, we can understand that our brokenness is not a crutch, or it's not something that we have to feel ashamed for, because that's just what we're born into. I just pray that as a people, we can recognize that that's an opportunity for us to continually go back to the Father. There's no amount of things that we do or we've done or we will do that will turn his face from us. And so once we recognize that we are not perfect Christians, that we are not called to be golden children. Yes, the conditions of going into heaven is perfection, but we are first called to be followers and recognize that is from us being broken, but then being made whole. So see these opportunities of distraction for us to go back into worship with the Lord. But let us not forget that there is a second part, that order matters, that the second part is to be laborers, workers, servers. And whenever it comes to particular work, now that we're getting into a little bit more of the topic of, am I called or am I forced to it? God has given us an ability to see the needs in this world. There are things that we do feel more of a heartbreak for or a heartache for. I went to a church plant meeting or gathering, what was it, maybe a few weeks ago. And one of the first things that he talked about, the speaker talked about in his message to us as church planners, is know what grieves your heart. And I think there's something for each of us. Maybe it's from past experiences, or it's from things that you've seen in this world that makes you so sad. Something that you've been affected by. Maybe that's trafficking. Christine Kane does an amazing, amazing job with A21, something that we support, about sex trafficking, human trafficking. It was a grievance in her heart. For us, it's mental health because we've experienced it. And we have a grieving for those that struggle with not belonging, with not being able to be a part of a community, or have been hurt by someone and they haven't gotten a chance to process it. There are all of these different lanes that we can take. But it's a matter of understanding what yours is. If there is something that grieves you, identify it. I know for me specifically, it is giving people a purpose. If you have ever been to our church, or you have interacted with me in person, in terms of worship, I'm going to ask you to pray about being on the worship team, because I want to see people be used for the Lord, by the Lord. I also used to lead in a young adults like beach ministry. And one of the things that I loved doing was giving people the opportunity to speak. Not pastors, not church leaders, but just people in the community to give encouragement, to give testimony, testify of what God is doing in their lives. Because I know that there's a grievance in my heart for people to have a purpose. And I think one of the things that is really awesome, there's a lot of tools for us. One of the things that we love to talk about is the primal question. It's something that Mike Foster created over, I think it was over decades, over research, thousands of people looking into it. He created these seven questions, and I know that my question is, do I have purpose? There are also amazing other tools, and I don't want to say that these are things that are specifically Christian, because the language of them and what they give you is not completely faith-based. But I do want to say one thing, that they are helpful for us to see what our grievances are based off of our experiences, what we know, what we've seen. So there's things like the Myers-Briggs. I know for me, I am an INFP. And don't ask me to, what is it? It's intuitive. Or no, introverted, intuitive, something. I don't remember what the other ones are, but they all represent letters. And then there's also the Enneagram. The Enneagram gives you a list of 9 numbers. I know I'm an Enneagram 9. So you can look at these things, you can see these things, and first of all, for a lot of people, they think that they are negative things. But when you put it with the intention of making it something so that you can further know what your calling is, I think these are amazing things. I think these are amazing things. There are probably other things that resources, and I want you guys to go ahead and research those if you guys do have the certain resources. About finding callings, there's spiritual gift types of things, there are things like that. But I want us to do something that is called finding your lane, knowing your lane. What is your lane? Is your lane mental health? Is it sex trafficking? Is it mission work? Is it pastoring, shepherding? Is it teaching? What is your lane? Is your lane simply doing something amazing, like working in a regular place and sharing the love of God? What is your lane? And see, your lane may look drastically different than what you want. It may look drastically different than what you think it should be. But uncomfortability does not mean that it's wrong. Uncomfortability does not mean that it is something that you shouldn't do. Because in the presence of the Lord and doing things for the Lord, it gives us an opportunity to be safely uncomfortable. Safely uncomfortable with what we deal with who, with what we're feeling called towards. Because if we feel an irk towards the Lord or a push towards the Lord to do this, man, it's amazing when we have the opportunity to do it. And as we get more into the specifics, there is our individual gifts. If you read through Romans 12, it says, if you've been given the gift to prophesy, prophesy. If you've been given the gift to teach, teach. And I want us as people, if we do feel like we're forcing it or we're feeling called to it, have community that can help discern. Have community that can help walk with you through what you may feel called towards, or what you may feel pushed towards by the Holy Spirit. And then notice what you idolize and where God meets you at with that idolization. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, but notice what you idolize and then be consistent in prayer. I really believe that prayer changes things, brings clarity. I've seen it in my life. I'm not saying that it will always bring clarity or it will always give you God will always give you a clear-cut answer. But be consistent in prayer. Because God is far, far more involved in his universe than we think or we can imagine. He's far, far more involved in this universe. Because if we do believe that he is an omniscient God, he is an omnipotent God, that he is all around, he is everywhere, then we have to believe that he is working intricately in our lives, in your life, in a very real way. Because there's ways that he does give confirmation, but he also leaves doors open. He closes doors, but he leaves doors open. And he pushes you in the right direction, the direction of the Lord. So I want you to ask this question again of, am I called or am I forcing it? Is this something that you have a grievance on your heart for? Or is this something that you feel is appeasing someone or appeasing a group of people or that you think would be the right answer? Am I called or am I forcing it? Is it something that you feel like you're just kind of going through the motions with it? That you're just being lukewarm in it? We talked about lukewarmness in the last episode. Stagnant water is not where you want to be. Lukewarm water is not where you want to be. Am I called or am I forcing it? Do you feel like it's creating fruit? We are known by our fruits. Are we creating fruit or no? Is there no fruit to be harvested? Am I called or am I forcing it? I know for me, one of the things that I worried about a lot whenever I was taking on the callings to do ministry in general or full-time ministry as well was the question of, am I forcing it? Is this really me? Is this really God? Is this what God is calling me towards? And I was scared. One of the times that I really, really wanted to do ministry, and I had these three opportunities, and all three of them were to work with youth. One was an internship, one was a job to potentially become a youth pastor, and then another one was to be a part of another youth ministry. And the crazy thing was that all three of these opportunities came within like a couple weeks. And I remember praying and talking with people, trying to discern what was the route I should take, because these are three amazing opportunities that would open doors. And then also open doors for the future. And I remember one point whenever I was finishing up doing something at the church that I was at before, getting stuff ready for the beach ministry that I was leading, and finished up and I was driving home, and I really just felt like, okay, I'm gonna turn off my radio, not gonna listen to any music, and it's about a 15-20 minute drive home. And I was just sitting there in silence. I was like kind of praying, but I wasn't. And I was just sitting there driving. Obviously, I had my eyes open because I was driving. But then I just remembered feeling this overwhelming amount of peace saying, youth is not where I want you. Youth is not where I want you. And whenever I feel like I hear something from the Lord, I repeat it out loud. And I say, youth is not where I want you. And the amount of peace that I felt in that moment, there's peace that I experienced that I've never experienced before. And that was so much confirmation that God told me, youth is not where I want you. I almost forced going to one of these opportunities, or even potentially going into multiple of these opportunities, because there are just amazing opportunities for me. Amazing opportunities for me to further my career in ministry. And it would have boosted me into either an established church or a big church where I would be getting paid and I would be somewhere of great influence to a lot of people. And I almost forced it, knowing that all of the opportunities that I had was to be in ministry for youth. But God said, youth is not where I want you. And whenever I heard that, that's whenever I had made such a clear decision that I was not going to do youth at all. And I had to meet up with the pastor that was offering me the position, or that was potentially going to offer me the position. I met up with the people, or I called the people that were offering me an internship, and then also with the other youth ministry. I had to let them all know, God gave me a very clear answer that youth is not where I want you. And one, it was hard because these were amazing opportunities. But the responses that I've given, or that I was given, gave me so much peace. And I clearly remember, youth is not where I want you. But we also have to remember that there are things that we need to recognize, the idols that we, the things that we idol. And I realized, this isn't the end of the story. Just last year, Zach, Zeke, and I, we went to a spiritual resting, what is it called? We got refreshed, spiritually refreshed. It was a retreat. There we go. It was a retreat. And there's this opportunity for us to talk with the host. And he had a degree in spiritual direction. And so we would meet with him and he would talk to us, give us spiritual direction, a route in which we can go. And this is at a time whenever I was at my own turmoil, trying to figure out what directions was I was going to take. I already had the direction of being with Collective, but I knew that I wasn't going to be making enough. So I was trying to figure out what other routes I could take. And in that spiritual direction, after laying out everything that I was struggling with deciding, he made it very clear and he said, it sounds like you're idolizing clear confirmation. And that blew my mind, because I was going to force it again with these opportunities to make enough money to get by or make enough money to be comfortable. And I was waiting for an answer because I had a week to answer. And I just remember God worked through him in his voice. And he said that I idolize confirmation so much. But the beautiful thing is that he met me there. He met me there with the youth opportunities, but that's not where he wanted me to stay. He wanted me to go forth and see what are the open doors that he can bless, the open doors, but he'll also bless me not going through those doors. It's a matter of if they are his will. So then I realized I idolized so much about being confirmed that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But it took those faithful steps of doing things like dropping out of school for me, walking away from school, from sports. Earlier on, walking away from wanting to become a doctor. All of these things that prepared me, and walking away from it. I thought I needed clear confirmation. But it's beautiful because God just gave me an open door. So I want to encourage you guys as we close. I want to encourage you guys to ask yourself these questions of, what am I idolizing right now? And it may not be a specific thing. It may not be idolizing TikTok or social media, or it may not be idolizing work, but there are things that we idolize, like confirmation. Or we idolize laziness. What are you idolizing? And is that keeping you from following God's will, whether that's you forcing it or that's you having inaction, not doing anything about it? So what are you idolizing? And remember, am I called or am I forced? Or am I forcing it? Am I called or am I forcing it? Are you called or are you forcing it? We're all called to do something. One followed Jesus. And then Jesus clearly says that first, the God wants worshipers that worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And then laborers. So we are called to worship and we are called to live a life for Jesus. Then what is your lane? What is grieving your heart? What is making your heart ache? And that gives you a lot more clarity in what it is that you are called to do. So I just want to end this in prayer. And I just want this to be a time where we can hear, maybe not God's voice, but hear the fact that we are called. We are called to something. So maybe we can do things that we can evaluate for ourselves. So Lord, I just thank you for this time together. I thank you for the person on the other side of the screen that is listening, or the other side of the radio, or they're in their headphones, wherever they are listening, Lord. And I just pray that you bless them with the understanding that they are called, and give them guidance or clarity, whatever it is that you will them to have. And Lord, let that be a guiding mark for what you have for them, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, love you guys. Again, check us out in our socials. Check us out on Patreon, and support or give to us if you guys feel called to that. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. Love you guys.